The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus prayed, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you've given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them. And I know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our first lesson from Acts of the Apostles, we hear the continuation of the apostolic ministry as Matthias takes the place of Judas. The apostles demonstrate how they are to move forward despite the loss of Judas, and that they show how they are united in prayer and purpose. It shows us what solidarity can look like amid those times of uncertainty and transition. Uncertainty and transition is certainly part of the human experience, because it seems that we're living in a time where certain fixtures in our society that we could count on are certainly in flux. It's part of the human experience, but I think we're at a different part of what that looks like in our world today. We don't know what the future holds in many facets of life together. For example, 50 years ago, a person could typically work one job or have the same career most of their lives. But with changes in technology and globalization, a person could have a different career or as many as 12 jobs throughout their life. It's one of many things in which uncertainty is now the norm. In the life of the church in this country, particularly for Lutherans, the biggest debacle might be the change the color of the newest hymnal, right? That might have been the biggest debacle, or the fact that we needed a new hymnal at all, right? But now, throughout our denomination and synod, many wonder if they'll be able to get another pastor, or if they're going to be able to keep the doors of their congregation open. While uncertainties are constant and transitions are part of living, they certainly are manifesting themselves in different ways in which we could probably collectively point to the anxiety and tension that ourselves and others are experiencing. But all of this is what it means to be in the world. The mission of Jesus is being carried out by the disciples, and when looking in our gospel lesson from John, Jesus is offering what is known as his priestly prayer that acknowledges the difficulties of the world. Not just uncertainties and transitions, but the idols, the wolves, and the hostility that this world has to the good news. As Jesus said in chapter 17, verse 11 of John's gospel, "And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." In our world, to alleviate the uncertainty and the transitions we are confronted with, we're filled with too many false prophets who promise a better tomorrow. And then there are those in the world that try to sell us the promise of happiness through materialism and consumerism. They aren't prophets, they just want to make a profit by capitalizing on our anxiety caused by our uncertainty. And then we are living in a time where the truth surrounding the most basic things is murky at best, and some of us are just resigned to giving up and figuring out what truth is anymore. Kind of reminds me of that scene later on in John's gospel where Jesus is with Pilate in the conversation, what is truth? What is truth? But Jesus wants us and the disciples to be sanctified in the truth. He says in his prayer, "Your word is truth." But let's go back to the beginning of John's gospel. Because we hear in the beginning, when the Word was with God and the Word was God, it moves to Jesus' time when the Word, meaning Jesus himself, became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. But that Word, that truth, will not be well received in the world. And as Jesus is offering this priestly prayer, as the church, we're called to be a people of prayer. And there's that tension in being in the world, but not of the world. And then what does it mean to be a people of prayer? Carmelo Alvarez says this, "A prayerful community takes seriously its intercessory role in solidarity with the victims of injustice and marginalization, while denouncing the root causes of these unjust structures and broken relationships through its active witness in the lives of people and in the world." I had a seminary professor that warned us that when you pray, you might be the answer to that prayer. When you pray, you might be the answer to that prayer. And he gave a story of how he wasn't ready to lose a friend that was sick, and that involved him taking care of him, right? You might be the answer to that prayer. While there are times when our prayers come from a place of helplessness, there are times where we can be the answer to our prayer. As I've said before, there are reasons why people hear the phrase thoughts and prayers as an empty platitude. It's because often those who say it may have the capacity to be an answer or part of the solution, yet they use prayer as a way to get off the hook. So if we're praying for peace in the world, how are we being a people of peace? How are you being a person of peace? If we're praying for people to be fed, for example, how are we feeding people? How are you feeding people? And when we embody that answer to some of our prayers, that word and that truth that we share in the world is not always going to be well received. Faithful people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who stood up to Adolf Hitler in the Third Reich in Germany, it cost him his life when he spoke and embodied that word and that truth. Faithful people like Martin Luther King Jr., who stood up and opposed institutionalized discrimination, segregation, and the dehumanization of African Americans in this country, that word and that truth cost him his life. And the world wants to put truth to death. And Jesus, the word, the truth, was put to death on the cross. But that would not be the end of that word and that truth. The cross would then be an instrument of eternal life, of the eternal word, of the eternal truth that we experience as God's faithful people, that people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Martin Luther King Jr. professed, but not only professed, it was an eternal word, an eternal truth, and the eternal life that they were immersed in and wrapped in by the love of God in Jesus Christ. We are people of prayer, but we are people of a new creation and a new beginning. John's gospel starts with the beginning, and in Christ, we're invited to participate in the new beginning that we have, in the new creation through the crucified and resurrected Christ. That new beginning with the one who is full of grace and truth invites us to shine light in the darkness and to speak truth, to speak that word of God's love that tears down injustice, that points Jesus, that points others to Jesus, to a world in which we long for it to be on earth as it is in heaven. See, that's an answer. That's where we can be part of the answer to that prayer, where it be on earth as it is in heaven. Another seminary professor of mine, Dr. Vitalis Hoffman, really dives in to this passage in John's gospel. He writes that this section of the prayer is framed by truth and is repeated and has a significant theme in John. Jesus affirms that the disciples know the truth of its origin from the Father. In verses 17 and 18, Jesus asks that they be sanctified in the truth, which is also confirmed as God's word. All this comes from what Jesus, the Word, had previously said in John 14:6, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. But what does it mean to be sanctified, to be made holy in the truth? Because this sanctification has a purpose. As Dr. Vitalis Hoffman said, it is intended as a way for the disciples to be sent forth to share the truth and the Word. It's a way of being, it's not a way of being taken out of the world, but being sent into it. We're not being removed from the world. We are always being sent into the world. And what does it mean for Jesus to sanctify himself? Dr. Vitalis Hoffman says that's Jesus laying down his life on the cross and taking it up again in the resurrection. As we hear in John 15, verses 11 to 13, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So it's another invitation, but warning, that following the way of Jesus costs us our lives to a degree. Now, it doesn't mean that that always has to be a physical martyrdom type end, but it is a life of sacrificial love and living. And if that sounds like a tall order. I mean, today is Mother's Day, right? That's a vocation filled with sacrifice, is it not? And willing sacrifice for many, right? I think of, you know, in marriage, nobody gets it right, but if we're entering it in a way where we sacrifice for the other out of love. We don't think about it at times, right? And it's the same thing for a mother or father, for parents. They sacrifice for children, but they do it without thinking of it. They wouldn't think that they would not do it, right? It's what we do. And then I hear grandparents just want to give it all away, right? Just empty themselves, right? Fully embodying the image of Jesus in that, right? What Jesus is inviting us to is not just to love our own tribe, though. It's that we would love one another in a way that it expands beyond those whom are in our own household or family. That kind of sacrificial love in giving our life for others. And then being in the world, willing to lay down our lives or put our bodies in between the oppressed and the oppressor. We are in the world. And as the Father has sent Jesus into the world, so too Jesus sends the disciples into the world to continue this mission. So to be a disciple of Jesus Christ doesn't mean that we gather for worship just to receive a word of encouragement or to leave here with warm and fuzzy feelings from worship and just go on our way. The disciples knew that this wasn't just about them, that they needed to continue the mission of Jesus when faced with uncertainty. And we too are called to continue the mission of Jesus when faced with uncertainty. That's the reality in life. That's the reality of the church in every age. We continue the mission. This isn't about us, but it's about going into the world and sharing the good news of what Jesus has done for us, for all of us. And in a word of uncertainty, let us be bold in our certainty of God's love in Jesus Christ. Aren't there people longing to hear that in a world of uncertainty? That there's a God that chooses us? That there's a God that will never let us go in life and in death? Because that's the truth that we share when we point to Jesus and when we point to the cross. In a world of uncertainty, we're certain that our loving God does not approve of people being placed in harm's way. In a world of uncertainty, we are certain that people are not to be treated as objects, as means to an end. And in a world of uncertainty, we know that peace is not accomplished with force and violence. It is through the cross and the empty tomb that we are certain that God loves you and that God loves the world. And the power of the cross and resurrection calls us to be a people of prayer, a people of peace, and a people of love that proclaim and embody the word, the truth, Jesus Christ. And we are called to share that mission with others. We are called to share that word and that truth with others. That God loves you and will hold you in life and in death. And that we are certain of this promise. Thanks be to God. Amen.